وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. This is Hussein and you're listening to our program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about Islamic teachings and Quranic elements pertaining to humanity and one of the best ways to understand the Islamic principles and values for humanity, what teachings Islam has for humanity, is to analyze and discuss the life stories of the great personalities of Islam, which means the Holy Prophet of Islam and great leaders of Islamic community from among his pure progeny. So a very good book in this regard is a book titled A 250-Year-Old Person. This book is a compilation and sermons of Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei about the life stories and biographies of the Prophet of Islam and his pure progeny, Salawatullah Alayhi Majmain. So we were talking about, we were in the fifth chapter of the book, talking about the life story and biography of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, especially in the context of the leadership of the Muslim community at that time and the challenges that he had. We said that the grand picture that Ayatollah Khamenei draws and illustrates about the time of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba and the socio-political context at that time is that Islam started as a movement, developed into a state, but at the time of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, because the opposition line to Islam, Banu Umayyah, they could control the situation to extent that Islam could no longer be a state, the true Islam. And Islam went back and became a movement again. And the leaders of this movement were the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And one of the things is that they did not want, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam did not want, it was not part of their strategy to act like Khawarij, to act like those opposition who start armed opposition and isolate themselves. Because they are the owners of the Risala, they are the owners of the true Islam. Why should they act as if they are the foreigners? Why should they act as if they should like isolate themselves? No, they stayed within the Islamic Ummah, but then they wanted to preserve the nature of this movement, to tell everyone that this is the true Islam, which is now experiencing a more difficult situation. Why? Because in the start of Islam, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was fighting people who were explicitly kuffar pagans, and they had different slogans, different ideologies. But in the time of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam, the opposite side, those people who were in fight with the Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt were in fight with them, that opposite side also would carry and claim the Islamic slogans, that would claim that they are the caliphs of the Prophet and everything, reciting the Quran and everything. So things become very difficult and complicated, like the way that we said during the episodes that we had about Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet had told Imam Ali that I fought for the revelation of the Holy Quran, but you're going to fight for the interpretation of the Holy Quran. And that is a much more difficult task. So in different senses, okay? So we are not saying that the task of the Prophet was not difficult. We are saying that in different dimensions, it's more difficult. Okay, so at the time of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, we said that now we have a situation in which true Islam becomes a movement again. And one major thing, or you would say the most major or important thing in the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, in the political, socio-political life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, is the peace treaty with Muawiyah. And there are different ways to understand this situation. Inshallah, in the next segment after the break, we're going to talk about how His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei interprets and understands this move from the side of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa.
Welcome back. This is Hussein, and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. So we were talking about the peace treaty of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba and different ways to understand it. There's this common understanding, unfortunately common understanding, among like the Sunni school of history, Sunni school of ideology, that would say, okay, the reason that Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam signed a peace treaty with Muawiyah, and it falls into such a sharp contrast with the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is because of personal traits. Okay, there were two individuals. These two individuals had different personalities, and because of their personal differences, they made different, like for example, reactions to the Banu Umayya. Okay, this is a common reductionist view that unfortunately some people try to put forth, that Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, and especially sometimes they try to put it in, trying to make it sound like positive. Like Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba was patient, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was ghayur, zeal, and like for example, very active, something like this. But Imam Hassan, no, he was passive, he was patient, he wanted to seek peace, and like as if when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints leaders for Islamic community, they are free to do whatever they can based on their personalities. As if the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on the personalities, and especially something that seems illogical, irrational, just arbitrary. And this is the greatest injustice done to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba from some so-called Muslims, okay? Why? Because, and also Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because when you reduce things into this level of the discussion, then there is no point in a strategic thinking, in analysis of the situation, the differences of their situations. Like any fair person can understand that, like one factor, okay, only one, let's consider just one factor, and that is the difference between Muawiyah and Yazid. It's a huge difference. Why shouldn't we take that into consideration? And we only reduce that major contrast between the reaction of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba and Imam Hussein based on what? Based on their personal traits. So this is an injustice, and unfortunately, there might be indications that this injustice, this reductionist injustice, has been fueled by the historians that are coming from the Banu Umayya, the Amavids narrative. And even in the Sunni sources of history, there are quotes and narrations that tell us it's not based on something personal. Even at the time of the peace treaty of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, you have Imam Hussein alayhi salam, okay? The person that these people claim to be active and pro-war and everything. But then you see Imam Hussein alayhi salam trying to justify and calm down those followers of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba who are pro-war, okay? It shows that Imam Hussein is not like saying, okay, I wanted to start a war, but my brother did not do it, then just let me just remain silent. No, he was actively defending the decision of the peace treaty. The very person that these people say started the war based on his personality traits. Okay? So it shows that, no, there are differences. There are, you would say, maybe the word is not very correct and accurate, but geopolitical differences there. There were sociopolitical differences at that time. And when compared to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that is why in Shia Islam we have this famous saying, and also narrated by Sunni narrators of hadith, that the Prophet said, Al-Hasan wa Hussein imaman, my two grandsons are both leaders, qama aw qa'ada, whether they start an uprising or they sit down, meaning that they signed the peace treaty. Because there was this anticipation that people would judge the kind of leadership, the strategic decisions of these leaders based on what? Based on their personal traits, unfortunately. This is a very important discussion. Inshallah, we're going to continue this discussion in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wish for. This life is not eternal, but the next will last forever. Jannah.